Take our Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. I'm sure you know this, but probably fear is one of the greatest barriers to living a victorious Christian life. It attacks all of us. It's not just a few of us here, but it really attacks all of us. The first emotions that we see from the passage of Scripture we're going to read tonight was not necessarily excitement. It was not jubilation. It was fear. And we see fear all through the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. We know about how Adam and Eve feared having to face God after they had sinned. We know that Joshua feared when he was getting ready to go into the promised land. And of course, the Lord told him, "Fear not." You've probably heard me say it. You've probably heard pastors say it, that they say there are 365 times the Bible says, "Fear not," one for each day of the year. So the Lord really does want us to fear not. But it's something, it's a natural emotion that all of us face, and we all have to be able to overcome it if we're going to live victorious Christian lives. If you look with me in Luke chapter 24, we're going to read verse number 9. I want to give you a title of the message tonight is Freedom Over Fear. Freedom Over Fear. And I want to preach this. I preached this Sunday morning in my Sunday school class and gave a personal testimony, and the personal testimonies just continue to keep coming. So I hope it'll be a blessing to you as it's been a reminder to me that I'm not to fear. All right? Look in Luke 24, look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the leaven and to all the rest." Fear, since Bible times, since this time, has really intensed and changed through the passing of time. Today, one of the best-selling mood-altering drugs is Prozac, given to children and given to adults. And honestly, people are facing fears today they just don't know what to do with. And they're reaching out to anything and everything they can do to help them overcome their fears when we know they ought to be reaching out to God and to His Word. So tonight, what I want to do for just a few short minutes, I want to bring you just a three-point outline to help you with some things. I want to look at the fear of the unplanned circumstances. I want to look at the fear of unmet expectations. I want to look at the fear of an unknown future. And then I want us to look at how claiming the promises of God can help us overcome any fear that we might have in our life. So let's look first tonight at the fear of unplanned circumstances. The fear of unplanned circumstances. You know, sometimes we have things that come into our lives that are totally out in left field, don't they? And that seems to be what's been happening to me lately. Just last week, my schedule in the last few weeks has really been weird. I've been doing a lot of traveling and getting up at all ungodly times in the morning and getting to the airport to make sure I can get there on time to get home on time. And I just happened to wake up the other morning and just had a terrible dream, just a really bad dream. And no, I'm not going to tell you what it was, okay? But it really disturbed me. So I got up and this was a message that I've been preparing for several weeks. And And I just started going through my notes and spending some time in prayer and reading this passage of Scripture. And the Lord really helped me to get back to sleep within 30 minutes. I'm very thankful for that, okay? And then today, I was Monday, I had a friend of mine. I was really trying to save my time. And I had a board meeting over at Southland Christian Camp, which I'm very honored to serve on the board there. And I have a pastor friend of mine from San Antonio that has a man in his church that has a private airplane. And he called and says, "Hey, how would you like for us to come by and pick you up and carry you over to Southland?" I said, "That is a great idea," because I didn't want to spend 4 hours on the road, 4 or 5 hours on the road, going there and coming back. And then, of course, pastor contacted me in the weekend and said, "Hey, can you preach Wednesday night?" And then there was another bout of fear right there. And I said, "Sure, pastor, but I just want you to know I'm going to be gone for a couple of days." He says, and I said, I'll have something ready. So they picked me up at noon on Monday, and we head over to Southland. We land in Minden, and man, we flew out of the Cleburne Airport. It took us an hour and 15 minutes. I was so elated. I was so excited. No 5-6 hour drive, having to stop at Bucky's and get me something to drink and all that stuff, even though that is a good thing, okay? But anyway, so everything went great. I had a great board meeting. Everything went great. We're leaving this morning. Brother Jones tells me, "Hey, we're going to leave at 8:30. And at 8:15, he gets a telephone call. And it was his friend that's the pilot of the plane that we're supposed to take back here. And said, "Brother Jones, I have some unfortunate news that we have problems with the plane. And I don't know what time I'm going to be able to get there. So y'all might want to make make other plans." Well, Brother Jones wasn't preaching tonight, but I was. And here I am going, I'm thinking, "Lord, here are these unplanned circumstances that you're telling me about and I'm preaching about. And here's one of those unplanned circumstances. Lord, I need your help. What are you going to do?" And of course, what came over me again? Fear. Fear. Now, thankfully, I hitchhiked. No, I didn't. There was another board member that was flying out of Dallas Love Field, and he was more than gracious to let me ride with him. And I called Brother Bob. I said, "Now, Brother Bob, listen, here's the deal. Either you come pick me up in Dallas or you got to preach tonight." So he was very gracious to come pick me up, take me to get my car all the way down to Cleburne. I arrived here at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and very thankful to be here. But we all have those unplanned circumstances, don't we? Those times that we say, "Well, hey, I wasn't expecting this at all," right? And those unplanned circumstances could be just a messed up in your schedule, whether you miss a flight or something like that. It could be receiving a report that you've got cancer, or maybe some bad health news. But we all at times experience unplanned circumstances, don't we? And how do we react to that? Now, in this passage, we see the fear of unplanned circumstances. Let's look first at the fear of the women. When the women arrived here at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, their hearts were filled with fear at what they saw. The stone had been rolled away. There were two angels standing there. The Bible says that their first reaction was fear. In fact, as you look and study the Bible, most of the times when people had an experience with an angel, the first emotion that came to them was fear. But look in verse number 5 and notice what the Word of God here says. It says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Now, I think that's a very important word right there. Are you with me? Did you notice the word "remember" there? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. You know, the fears of the women here were relieved when they were reminded of what? God's Word. Of God's Word. And that helped. That helps me. That whenever I have a fear, and that's exactly what I did this morning. That's exactly what I did the other morning when I had that dream that made me fearful. I stopped and I remembered what God's Word says, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to get God's Word in our heart. That's what part of meditating is all about. And memorizing and reading and studying God's Word to make sure we know what God's Word is. And then stand on the promises that God has given us. Aren't you glad that when we don't see a way out of a situation we're in, that we just need to return to the Word of God? I'm thankful for Psalm 119 verse 24 that says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." What is that saying? That's saying that the Word of God is my delight and my counselors. We know from Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, where the Bible says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He" what? "Meditate day and night." And there are days, listen, when we need something to delight in. And I'm glad that when those days are in our life, that when we need wise counsel, that it is always available to us through the Word of God. But not only do we see the fear of the women, but we also see the fear of the disciples. Fear is not just something that gripped the women. These big burly fishermen that were His disciples also became fearful in their hearts. You know, they had focused on the kingdom that Jesus was establishing, that kingdom and giving their nation deliverance from the Roman Empire, and they were so excited about that. They saw the miracles that Jesus did and knew that Jesus could overcome the Romans. And there were many ways that the disciples could have responded to the arrest of Jesus. When they came and got Him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, they could have spent some time in prayer, couldn't they? They could have spent some time committing their lives to sharing the truth and going out and sharing what Jesus had told them to say. They also could have encouraged one another and gotten everybody together and say, "Now listen, we need to remember what Jesus told us." But did they do any of those things? No. What did they do? They ran. They scattered. They were fearful. And even after the resurrection, they were still gripped by fear. And when the disciples realized who Jesus was and what He wanted to do for them, their fear of the unplanned circumstances was finally relieved. And listen, no matter what circumstances we face, and we're going to face them, listen, the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks, is proof that Jesus Christ is both willing and able to help us through unplanned circumstances and difficult times. And we need to, and I'm so thankful that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives us hope. So we see the fear of unplanned circumstances. Secondly, we see the fear of unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. And we may not fully comprehend, but the first century Christians were hoping that Jesus would establish that literal kingdom in Israel. And just prior to Jesus' death, they were competing, you remember, to see which one was the greatest? They wanted to sit on Jesus' right hand and Jesus' left hand. And they were looking at things from a temporal standpoint. Now, when Jesus was crucified, what happened? Their expectations were devastated. And they didn't know what to do. And the fear caused by unmet expectations can lead us at times to be despondent, to not know what to do, to cause us to make poor decisions at times. I've always tell people, listen, when you're emotional, it is not the time to make big decisions. Why? Because your thinking mechanism is messed up. And this is exactly where they were at. Listen, when we don't get a promotion or a relationship doesn't turn out the way that we thought, or some expectation that we thought that was going to happen didn't happen, and they always do at times, it can really derail our thinking sometimes. We can't let that happen. Someone once said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And that is so true. And if we allow worry and fear and despondency to dominate our thinking, then we're going to fail to hear the words and comfort and the encouragement that Jesus gives us. All the while, the disciples had unmet expectations. There were two people that reacted in a certain way. I didn't say respond. They reacted in a certain way that really shows how they reacted to these unexpected circumstances. First one was Peter. Remember? What did Peter do? Peter denied the Lord. Peter was so devastated and discouraged when his expectations of Jesus were not met that what did he do? He denied the Lord. You remember what it says in Mark chapter 14, the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now you keep in mind that when Peter heard that cock crow, that Jesus looked him straight in the eyes, and you know the conviction that was in Peter's heart. And that he had totally just not only denied the Lord, but he had let the Lord down and didn't want to even face the Lord anymore. Peter denied him. And even though Peter denied him, the Lord found forgiveness for him. And he does the same thing for us. You remember what the Lord told the women? The angel said this, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, and he said unto you. But he told not only to get his disciples, but he also told him to get who? To get Peter. Why did the Word of God say specifically not only the disciples, but Peter also? Because they knew, he knew, the Word of God knew, Jesus knew that what it was going through Peter's mind. And even though Peter had failed, it was still important for them to mention Peter because Peter was devastated. He had met those unmet expectations that had come up and he didn't know how to respond. And what did he end up doing? We know later on he went back to his occupation of fishing and he took others with him. Peter says, hey, I'm just giving up on this. I don't know what Jesus was talking about. I'm done with this. But the angel gave special instructions to make sure that he knew that he was included in the invitation to meet Jesus later. But not only do we know it, see Peter's denial, but we also see Thomas's doubt. Thomas's doubt. Thomas was so discouraged by Jesus' death that after the other disciples had seen the Lord, he refused to believe the word, the good news that Jesus was alive. And what did he say? He says, unless I see the nail prints in his hand, I'm not going to believe. You remember that? And that's exactly what happened. Fear can make us doubt the promises and the goodness of God to the point that we miss out on the blessings that God has in store for us. And that's important to remember. When we're fearful and despondent over what's going on in our life, the situation in our life, that's going to make us doubt the promises and the goodnesses of God. And He doesn't want us to do that. And then you remember Jesus didn't, when he did see Thomas, he didn't berate him. He didn't tear him down for his lack of faith. He simply offered him the opportunity to overcome his doubts and his fears. We have a loving Lord, don't we? We have a forgiving Lord, don't we? He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live it by faith. What does the Bible say? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. And God offers us victory and freedom over despondency and doubt. And listen, no matter how discouraged or fearful we may become, even tonight, we have to realize that Jesus loves us and wants us to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine understanding in all thy ways. What? Acknowledge Him and we'll do what? He'll direct our path. The empty tomb illustrates, folks, how our unmet expectations today can really become tomorrow's victories. Amen? So we see the fear of unplanned circumstances. We see the fear of unmet expectations. And finally tonight, we see the fear of an unknown future. Fear of an unknown future. The disciples did not know what to expect, did they? They had given up on their plans. They had forsaken everything to follow Jesus. Now that Jesus had died, they did not know what the future held for them. You remember one of the greatest quotes I remember was by Corrie Ten Boom that said this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Psalm 56, verse number 3 says, what time when I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I will trust in Thee. And you remember Jesus came to them and it's recorded. He says, why are you troubled? And in fact, look in verse number 38. I know we've read verses 1 to 9, but look on down to verse number 38. And He said to them, this is what Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Why are you troubled? You know what? I believe Jesus is asking us the same question. Why are you troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. And I'll get to that verse here in just a few minutes because that's one of my favorites. But what did Jesus do to help these disciples and to help these women to help them overcome their fears? And this is where the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. Because first thing that Jesus did, Jesus told them about the future. He told them about the future. Because Jesus was God, He knew that He was going to what was going to happen ahead of time. Before His death, He told the disciples what was to come. But what happened? They failed to understand what Jesus was saying. I just know sometimes Jesus got very frustrated with His disciples saying, I'm trying to get you to realize this and understand this, just like you are with your children when you have to tell them something over and over and over and over again. I'm sure that Jesus was doing the same things. Why? Because they failed to understand what He was saying to them, His words to them. What did He do? He told them about His death and resurrection. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 31 and 32 says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. There was the words when He told them, hey, listen, I'm going to be smitten. There we go. Thank you. I saw Miss Madeline looking at me. Smitten. There we go. I told you that. And you're going to be scattered. And everything that happened to Jesus, His betrayal, His arrest, and His beating, His crucifixion, His resurrection, happened according to the sovereign design and plan of an almighty God. Everything. Nothing happened in those days that ever took God by surprise. And can I say something to you today? That nothing happens today that took God by surprise. Nothing. Nothing. He was fully aware of all that was to come. But not only did He tell them about His death and resurrection, He also told them about His second coming. And just as surely as Jesus foretold His death and His resurrection, He also gave His words of coming about His coming again. And what did He say? Those great words, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, in John chapter 14, where He says this, let not your heart be troubled. He was saying, hey, don't be fearful. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then here comes Thomas again, doubting Thomas. He says, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and we don't know the way. Then Jesus said those famous words in verse number 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And He is the freedom over our fear. And we just got to stand on that truth and the promises of what God has told us in His Word. We don't know what's coming in the future. We don't know. We don't have to live in fear and doubt because Jesus is going to return for His children. He's coming back for us. And if we follow Him, there's no reasons in our hearts to be troubled. And we can have complete confidence in the one who overcame death, He overcame hell, He overcame the grave, and He rose again, and He lives, and one day, praise God, He's going to return. And Jesus prophesied not only about His death, about His resurrection, about His second coming, but He also promised that there's going to be a heaven for those that believe. There's going to be a heaven. It seems like it's getting sweeter every day. Jesus said in Luke chapter, in fact, look down in verse number 40, 46 and 47. And He said unto them, thus it is written. I like that. Why? Because it's God's Word. God said it. Thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now that's an interesting word there, behooved. I had to look it up to see what it meant. It behooved Christ. Simply it means this. It says it was a requirement. It was a duty. It was responsible. Can I use this word? It was necessary for Jesus to die. It was necessary. You see, it's like the writer was here saying, Jesus was saying, listen, didn't you know that I, Jesus, as your Messiah, would have to suffer for the sins of the world? That's exactly what he's saying here. I have to do this. If not, there's no way to heaven. There's no way that that the way to heaven is going to be unless I go to the cross, unless I die, unless I'm buried, unless I rise again the third day. It can't happen unless I suffer. Of course, we all know, we're all been in church, most of us, long enough to know the reason why it was so important for Jesus to die on the cross for sins, that we can have eternal life. But Jesus tells us about our future in this life. He tells us also about our future in eternity also. And why? Because every one of us is going to spend somewhere forever. Every one of us. The Bible tells us all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. And there is not a person sitting in this auditorium tonight who is perfect. We're all sinners. And if we were perfect, folks, we would not need Jesus. We would not need Him. But we're not perfect. And we do need Jesus. We don't just need Jesus for our salvation. We need Him for our life as well. To live for Him every day of our life. And He gives us, every one of us who asks for forgiveness, every one of us needs a Savior. But not only does He, all have sinned, but all can have remission of sins. And good news is that forgiveness of sins is available to all of us through the death of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus shed His precious blood on the cross that we can have eternal life. And if we accept that sacrifice of what Jesus did for us, then we can be saved. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, all the doubts, all the fears of our eternal future are removed. We don't have to worry about it. It really is neat sometimes talking to people who maybe come forward and they're not for sure of their salvation. You show them from God's Word the promises of what God's Word says. And it's like the light comes on. And they say, you mean, I don't have to worry about losing my salvation? No. You sure don't. Why? Because that's secure with the Lord. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. everlasting. We can know without a doubt that heaven is our eternal home if we've been saved. Now, folks, fear is a fact of life. We're going to face unplanned circumstances. We're going to have unmet expectations. We're going to face the fear of uncertainty in the future. But if we come to the Word of God and we revisit the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks, our fears can be relieved. They can be sent away. They can be sent away. Jesus said in John 16, verse number 33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." That in me, you might have peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Don't be fearful. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Folks, it's the empty tomb that gives us the confidence, the faith that we need to overcome our fears and to live in the peace of God that God has promised to you and I and to anybody who is a child of God. One of my favorite songs that my friend Ron Hamilton wrote is called "How Can I Fear?" And it goes like this. "When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease, He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? When I'm alone and I face the unknown and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me day and night. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. I'll never fear with Him." And folks, if whatever you're fearing tonight, you can be relieved of that fear by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Stand on His promises. There's a reason why He tells us to fear not. Why? Because we have a Savior that told us we don't have to fear. And we don't have to fear. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What are you facing tonight? There may be some fears of unplanned circumstances that have gone on in your life this week. It may be some unmet expectations that you thought something was going to go the way it did. It didn't go that way. You're fearful about what the future has. Maybe fearful of maybe a doctor's report. Maybe fearful that you're not going to have enough money for Christmas or not being able to get that special gift for someone that you love. Maybe you're fearful about what the future holds. I believe we've looked tonight at how claiming the promises of God can help us overcome any fear. As we stand, Corey begins to sing, "Father, we love You. So thankful for the Word of God, promises that You've given us. Lord, help us to not live in fear, but in faith. Help us to take the principles we've learned tonight of going back to Your promises and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and be able to send our fears away, keep our eyes on Jesus. Do Your work in the service and in the invitation at this time, and we'll give You glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.